And then I'm getting a passive income stream of $449 a month with no renters, no rehabs, no renovations, no rodents.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity and properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me today, I'm excited to have Mark Podolsky on, the Land Geek. Mark, how are you doing today?
Todd, pulse is normal. Respiration's fine. Thanks so much for having me.
love it. So Mark, a little bit about Mark. I see that armed with $3,000, no real estate experience, you started buying raw land in 2001. And today you are the owner of Frontier Properties and still buying land and continuing from 2001 all the way to 2018. So that's impressive. You didn't stop in 2008 when the market crashed. You've completed over 5,000 land deals, which is also extremely impressive. So Mark, I want you to tell me the rest about kind of your background and how are you making money with land?
Yeah, I'll kind of tell you a little bit how I got into it, and then I'll walk you through the model, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I started as a really miserable, unhappy, overstressed investment banker. And I was specializing in mergers and acquisitions with private equity groups. And just mid-market stuff, you know, $5 to $500 million in enterprise value, so nothing too crazy. And I had a 45-minute commute to work and back. It was long hours. It was high stress. I was micromanaged. It got so bad for me that I wouldn't get the Sunday blues, having to be back at work on Monday, I'd get the Friday blues, anticipating the weekend going by really fast and having to be back at work on Monday. So my firm hires this guy and he's telling me that as a side hustle, he's going to tax deed auctions. He's buying up raw land, pennies on the dollar. He's flipping them online and he's making an average return of 300%. Wow. So I'm looking at companies all day long and a great company is 15% EBITDA margins or free cash flow. Great company. Average company is at 10%. And I'm looking at companies all day long, less than 10%. So I don't believe him. So he takes me to New Mexico. I've got $3,000 saved up for car repairs. And I just do exactly what he says to do. I buy 10 acres, average price of $300 each. I put them online and they all sell for an average price of over $1,200 each. It worked. So I took all that money and went to another tax deduction where I live in Arizona. And again, this is 2000. There's no one in the room. I'm buying up lots. I'm buying up acreage. And over the next 6 months, I sold all that property and I made over $92,000 cash. So I go to my wife. I'm like, honey, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to become a full-time land investor. And she's pregnant. She says, absolutely not. So I said, fine. All right. So I did it as a side hustle for about 18 months into 2001 until the land investing income exceeded the investment banking income. And then I quit and I've been doing it full time ever since.
That's really cool. So you took a $3,000 investment and turned it into $12,000. That was your first deal, right?
Correct.
That's awesome. So how did you meet this person that told you to take your $3,000? How'd you meet them?
He was hired at my firm and okay. We were just talking over like a drink.
Wow. What went in your mind saying, I'm going to take this $3,000 that I can't afford to lose and I'm going to put it into land? How did you decide to do that? Because that's a fear factor that I think most people would freeze on right there.
Right. So I talked to my wife about it and we actually sort of did this fear setting exercise and we kind of just reverse engineered what's the worst thing that's going to happen. And so we kind of decided, well, the worst thing that happens is we own raw land. So we own this asset. We don't have to maintain it. We don't have to protect it. I'm not, you know, taking up a bunch of room in the garage with it. And then we decided that the taxes on it were going to be, you know, relatively low. So we could afford the annual property taxes. They were like $9 a year. So that wasn't going to be a big deal. And then I thought, well, you know, even if I can't sell it, like maybe I could barter it. I could go to my dentist or my, you know, barber and say, here's this half acre parcel. So, you know, give me a free, you know, haircut for 2 years or whatever it is. And so she was like, yeah, you're right. She's like, you know, the worst case isn't so bad. So I'm like, yeah, the worst case isn't so bad. And that's really why we did it.
So, and then you're buying these things for $300 a piece, which how do you buy land for $300? And what type of land are we talking?
This is raw, undeveloped land, about 2 hours from the nearest town. So these are small rural communities and the taxes are very inexpensive. So, you know, that minimum bid on that property was $100. So we got bid up to $300. I was like, $300? This is crazy. So that's the kind of property, you know, we still kind of focus on today are these sort of inexpensive parcels that are rural. And I can kind of walk you through the model.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Because I'm really intrigued in this, and I think my listeners are too, because it's not something we hear about every day.
Yeah, no, it's like the least sexy model, right? I mean, you're not going to go on HGTV, the DIY network, and see flip this land. It's really just me in front of my computer. So, you know, basically, so Todd, where do you live?
Minnesota.
You're in Minnesota. Okay. Yeah. So I see on the tax delinquent list, or tax delinquent roll from the county treasurer in Texas, Todd Dexheimer owes $200 in back taxes on this 10-acre parcel.
By the way, just for disclosure, I do not owe any money on any of my tax parcels and or my parcels in Texas. So,
okay. All right. So, but let's just pretend you do. So you're advertising two things to me. Number one, you have no emotional attachment to that raw land. Yeah. You're in Minnesota, the property's in Texas.
Yeah.
And number two, you're distressed in some way because even though it's only $200, when we don't value something, we don't pay for it. Maybe you just lost your job. Maybe you're going through a divorce. Maybe you can't stand getting the tax delinquent notices every month, year in, year out. Or not tax delinquent, but just the tax notices. So you're delaying paying your taxes. Whatever it is, something's up with you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the comparable sales for the last 12 to 18 months on similar parcels on that 10-acre parcel. And then all I'm going to do is take the lowest comps, and divide by four. And that's going to get me what Warren Buffett would call a 300% margin of safety. Let's say for our example that the property has been selling at $10,000. The most I'm going to pay for your property then, Todd, is $2,500, including the back taxes. So I sent you an actual offer. I don't want to be in the appraisal business like the housing guys and say, I'm interested in buying your house. Oh, I'm interested in selling my house. And now we're in a negotiation, right? I'm actually going to send you an offer for $2,500. You're going to accept that offer because you've been getting notices every single month from the treasurer. If you don't pay your taxes, you're eventually going to lose that property to a tax deed auction or a tax lien investor. So $2,500 for you is better than nothing, and you're just rid of it. In reality, 3 to 5% of people accept our quote-unquote top dollar offer. So for every 100 offers, we get about 3 to 5 deals. So now you say, okay, I'll accept your offer. Now I'm going to go through due diligence, right? I'm going to make sure you actually own the property. I got to make sure there's no liens or encumbrances, right? I'm going to make sure there's no breaks in the chain of title. So I'm going to go through this whole checklist. And then everything checks out. And now I buy the property for $2,500. Now, the way I'm going to sell this in 30 days or less is really unique. I'm going to make it irresistible. So essentially what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it a car payment. But Todd, unlike every other real estate niche, I have a built-in best buyer. Do you know who it is?
No clue.
It's the neighbors. The neighbors.
Oh, sure.
So I'm going to send out neighbor letters and say, hey, look, here's your opportunity. Protect your privacy. Protect your views, expand your holdings, know who your neighbor's going to be before I go to the open market. And so oftentimes the neighbors will buy that property. And the way that I'll sell it is I'm going to sell it on owner financing. So it's going to be $2,500 down payment. And then I'm going to make it a car payment, $449 a month, 9% interest over the next 8 years. So essentially it's a one-time sale. I got my capital out on the down payment, or maybe let's say within 6 months of the down payment. And then I'm getting a passive income stream of $449 a month with no renters, no rehabs, no renovations, no rodents. Because I'm not dealing with a tenant, I'm exempt from Dodd-Frank, RESPA, and the SAFE Act. So I don't have any of this onerous real estate legislation. So the game that we play is, can we create enough of these owner finance land notes where our passive income exceeds our fixed expenses, and then we're working because we want to, not because we have to.
So I got some questions for you.
Sure.
How late in the game do you contact these people? Say I missed I didn't pay my taxes this year, and they were doing by January 31st or whatever the county is, but let's say it was January 31st they were due. And so how late, when do you send me the first offer?
I'm going to send you the first offer right away.
So if it's February 30th, yeah, and you see it?
It doesn't matter, right? Okay. My lowest hanging fruit is going to be people that owe back taxes and live out of state. But once I determine that I can do deals there, I'm going to actually mail the entire real property list from the county assessor. So I'm going to get that entire list. I'm going to scrub out all the residential owners and industrial owners and commercial real estate owners. I'm going to sort by use code. Let's say it's VL for vacant land. Now I got all the raw land. Then I'm going to do one more sort by acreage, right? Because I'm not going to send somebody with 10 acres the same offer as a person with 1 acre. That 10 acre person is going to send me back glitter in the mail. Right? So we have to do, you know, a little bit of data manipulation. But what's awesome about this model is that with software today, it's 90% automated. I can upload that list. The mail automatically goes out using an API from lob.com. So the offers go back. Then using the software, we take it all the way down to marketing. Because let's say the neighbors pass, right? Well, I still got to sell that property. So I'm going to go to my buyers list. If the buyer's list passes, I'm going to go to a little website you probably never heard of called Craigslist. It's the 10th most trafficked website in the United States. And using software, I'm actually going to put out about 120 ads just by pressing a button. I'm going to automate it. I'm going to do the same thing with Facebook buy-sell groups. So now once that's done, I can also go to landmodo.com, landsofamerica.com, landflip.com, landhub.com. There's a bunch of lands, right? So there's a big, big market. And essentially then, once we sell it, we're going to automate using software the note collection via ACH with our borrowers. And we use a program called geekpay.io that makes it a set it and forget it system. And then if the ACH fails, we have a credit card on file as a backup. It does notifications. So, you know, my whole philosophy in business is I can always make more money, but I can't get more time. So any tool that's going to save me time, I'm all in on.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. There must not be a lot of people doing this because I had a parcel in northern Wisconsin, and 1 year, for some reason, I think the tax bill didn't get sent to the right address because I had moved. Anyways, I didn't pay my tax on this piece of property. It was 10 acres. And sure. I didn't pay my taxes on it. And I think it was probably, boy, I mean, it was due January 31st, I believe. And I probably didn't pay it for close to 6 months. I never got a letter from anybody offering to buy my piece of property, nothing. You know, and finally, the county had been sending me letters, but to this other address. And finally, I just remembered, like, holy cow, we didn't pay our taxes, I don't think. And we looked back and we didn't pay our taxes. And so then I sent in I called the county because I didn't know how much I owed. And I'm like, hey, I didn't get a statement. And that's what it was. They were sent it to the wrong address or different address. Anyways, but nobody sent me anything, which is really interesting what you're saying is, and this is a rural, I mean, it's exactly what you're looking for. So now I wouldn't have accepted your offer, but.
Yeah, you might not have accepted my offer, but
yeah.
But it kind of just goes to show, you know, if there's, let's say we go to a RIA meeting, right?
Yeah.
And there's 100 people are going to be either house flippers, landlords, or wholesalers. You and I are, Todd, we're the only land guys in that room. So we have this massive market and no one doing it. And the mm-hmm. reason no one's doing it is we can all sort of wrap our heads around the fact that everybody needs a place to live, right? But not everybody needs a piece of raw land.
Yep.
But if we look around our homes, 99% of what we own, we don't need.
Yep. Well, and I think most of us think, well, raw land just doesn't make money, right? Because it's a piece of raw land. Where's the income? How do you produce right. income from a piece of raw land? Do you ever keep timber rights, mineral rights, anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll put stuff into a land trust or our, you know, if I buy it, let's say, sometimes I'll stumble upon a piece of property that's literally in the path of growth. I actually have in my family estate planning, do not sell this piece of land until a developer offers you a price that would make you smile from the grave. So, yeah, I mean, so occasionally you run into those pieces of property, but typically, though, that's, you know, those are sort of anomalies.
Those are unique.
Yeah, we don't focus on them.
Sure.
There are people that's what they do.
Okay.
But that's not what we do. I mean, we're not going to start competing against, you know, land bankers or, you know, big public companies that are buying up mineral rights, you know, oil and gas.
It's a different niche.
It's a totally different niche.
Right.
You know, and typically it's billion-dollar companies sure. that are, you know, doing that or funds.
Cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about your business and the ins and outs. So what advice would you give us to operate a business successfully? How have you had success in operating?
Yeah, for me, it's all about sort of stepping back and looking at the market and looking at, okay, what are the things that actually make me money in this business? Yeah. Right? Am I going to play business or am I going to actually do business? Mm-hmm. It always upsets me when someone tells me, oh, I can't get started until I get an LLC. Really? You need an LLC? Oh, you need a logo? You need a website? Like, none of those things make you any money. So essentially, in my business, what makes us money are what we call the M&Ms, mailing and marketing. So if I'm not doing that every single day, I'm not in business. Hmm. And then I take a look at, okay, well, if I'm doing mailing, You know, first I started off doing it myself. Then I outsourced it to a woman in South Carolina named Janie. And then I use software. So now my costs are down and I'm way more efficient. And then we do the same thing with the marketing, right? I used to do it myself. And now we have an acquisition manager. We have templates. We have headlines. We have copy. We know the things that our ideal buyer is going to want. We know the language to use of the market. And so we just are as efficient as possible doing that. And then we look at the pricing. What's going to make this property sell fast? And so if it doesn't sell within 30 days or less, maybe we have to lower the down payment. Maybe we have to raise the down payment. Maybe we have to raise the price of the property. Maybe people think it's not that valuable if it's too low. Hmm. So sometimes we have to play with the pricing to get it to sell. But since I've been doing this, I've never been stuck with a piece of property. There is a pig for every barn.
Yeah. It's funny you talk about pricing, because it's one thing that I think a lot of people don't quite understand is that it's always about the price, or a lot of times about the price, but it's not necessarily because it's priced too high. Sometimes it's because it's priced too low and you can't find the right buyer. And that's with my rental properties. I have before priced a rental property before I knew where my market was too low. And I get calls from the wrong types of people I don't really want in the unit. And then I'll raise the price. I mean, really raise the price, and I'll get the right kind of calls and I'll have the tenants that I want. And it's just funny, because you don't get those. Why don't those tenants want to save money? They don't want to, it's not that they don't want to save money. They're not looking at that price range because they know what they get for that price range.
Exactly.
So, well, cool. So I love that. The M&Ms, marketing and mailing, which is definitely huge. You're not going to get any business if you're not marketing.
Right.
So give us, you talked about some success stories. Give us, what's one of your biggest failure stories that you have learned from and been able to use in your business?
So 2006, I'm sort of drunk on my own success and I'm making so much money. And it's just kind of nutty, right? And it wasn't me, it was just the market. But I didn't have the humility to realize, oh, this is just the market. It's not Mark Podolsky, right? So I started ramping up my lifestyle, bought a multi-million dollar home. Then all of a sudden my neighbors have luxury cars. I don't have any luxury cars. I had to buy luxury cars. Three kids. Public school is not good enough anymore. We have to go to private school. My wife doesn't work, so why should she have to work so hard at home? So we hired nannies and we get a housekeeper. And so I started building up all my personal overhead deal in this area of Western Pennsylvania called Treasure Lake, right? And it's an overdeveloped community. It's beautiful. It's a gated community. There's million-dollar homes in there. It's got two PGA rated golf courses, three lakes, but they have HOA fees. So I go in there and I start negotiating with them. I said, look, you've got all this dead money, right? No one's paying the POA fees. No one's paying their property taxes. So I do a workout with the county. I do a workout with the property owner association. I essentially convince them to give me like 1,000 parcels for almost nothing. Right. And the first year, as we go into 2007, I made about $100,000 on that deal. Well, 2008 rolls around and nobody's buying these lots. And it was the first time that, you know, I wasn't able to keep a promise in business. And I had to give sort of the lots back to the POA and the county and do all that. And when I looked back and I started factoring in my time, and looking at what my effective hourly rate was and how long it took me to fly out and negotiate that deal, that was the first deal I really broke even on. And it was also the first time that I realized I need a mentor. Like if I had a mentor who looked at that deal with me, they would have said, Mark, just do a takedown deal. Why buy 1,000 lots? Just buy 10 at a time, sell the 10, then buy another 10. And because I didn't have that, and because I'm so drunk on my own success, I went down this, you know, this sort of terrible road, and we all know what happens. You know, 2010, I ended up having to you know, get rid of the house, get rid of the cars, the staff, and, you know, get that huge ego kick in the head and finally sort of start figuring out like what really makes me happy in life and determine my values. And I actually wrote a book about it. It's coming out actually this week, called Dirt Rich.
Dirt Rich. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll put that in the show notes because I'm sure a lot of people want to hear about that.
Sure.
Read that story. Cool. Well, appreciate you sharing that with us. It's really easy to get, like you said, drunk on your success sometimes and think that you've got it all figured out when in reality, you always better be learning. Otherwise, you know, you're going to be shrinking quickly.
No, absolutely.
So for someone that's new to business, whether they're wanting to get into the land thing or any other aspect of real estate or business in general, give us some advice on how do you get to that next level? How do you get to that level of success?
You have to scale, right? You know, the great thing about my niche is I can work all over the country. And I can't tell you the last time I had to physically go look at a piece of property. So, you know, our due diligence is automated. We have a team in the Philippines that actually does all this for us. I pay $11 for due diligence. They're connected to American Title Company with software. So, you know, essentially it's being able to step back from your business and have the discipline every single day and say, am I a freelancer today or am I an entrepreneur? Hmm. And an entrepreneur builds something bigger than themselves. So when Steve Jobs dies, right, Apple doesn't just fall apart, like they continue to grow. That's the way I sort of look at it, is every single day, what am I doing in the business that I can either eliminate, delegate, or systematize? And so that's my business is, okay, so this month I worked 2 hours in Frontier Properties. What was I doing in those 2 hours? And essentially it was meetings and it was analysis. And that's really what I need to be doing right now. But until I got to that point where I was, you know, doing the marketing, I was doing the customer support, I was working on the systems, I had to have the discipline to be able to step back and say, okay, this is not going to grow the business. Like, it feels good in the moment to get it done, but that's not going to grow. And so I think you need to have just that discipline of knowing and being totally clear on your entrepreneurial version or your journey on how you want to do that, how you want to build it, make this utopia.
Great advice. Appreciate that. I love the quote that you said, an entrepreneur builds something bigger than themselves. So that's the quote of the day now.
There you go. You can tweet that.
I'm going to tweet that. That's a great idea. I don't really tweet, but I'm going to tweet it. we're in a hot real estate market. Single family prices have gone up, multifamily prices, every sector's gone up. And I'm assuming land, you know, I know land has gone up. Do you have the same challenges in a hot market of finding a deal as kind of everybody else? Or are you still able to find deals pretty easily?
Well, you know, land's a little bit different in that sense. So, you know, because we're buying the way that we're buying, it depends on the area, but typically no. You know, we're not looking at infill lots in San Francisco or New York, right, where those prices are going up. If you have an infill lot in one of these metro areas, you're not going to sell at 25 cents a dollar to a land broker in the town, right? You're going to sell at retail. So for me, that's not really the issue. Now, we do see it in some pockets where we might have to increase our offers to get that 5% response rate, but because our margins are so big, 300 to 1,000%, it really doesn't affect us.
Interesting. Okay. Well, cool. That kind of derailed where I was kind of heading with this whole question, but it just was coming to mind. I'm going, you know, I'm in the multifamily business, and it's really hard to find properties as it's been heating up. And so that was, you know, just kind of interesting to hear your take on the land. So you talked a little bit about your mentor, the person that got you started. Is there any other, you know, mentors or influential people that have been there for your success?
Yeah. My buddy, Ori, he sold his company for $360 million to Experian. His mentor was a billionaire, Mort Meyerson. If you don't know who that is, you just Google him. But him and Ross Perot had one of the biggest falling outs in corporate history. Hmm. So, you know, I would meet with Ori, and since he was not a real estate guy, it really gave me this sort of different business perspective, because we weren't, you know, I already had the deal junkie piece done and I knew how to find deals. What I needed was somebody to help me to look at it from an entrepreneur's point of view. Sure. To know my numbers. And he would just kind of grill me. One of the best things he told me, I was kind of telling him, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. He looked at me, he's like, Mark, he's like, remember when you were a kid and you took out a little microscope and you'd start killing ants, you know, with the sun? I said, yeah. He's like, well, what you're doing is you're playing that game. What you're doing is you're moving the microscope to ant, to ant, to ant. You're generating a lot of heat, but you're not killing any ants. Like, you need to focus and kill some ants. And I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. So once I started focusing on, you know, knowing exactly what's that Pareto principle in my business, what 20% of the activities yields 80% of the results, then I could really focus with clarity.
That's very powerful. It's, I think, real estate investors in general, it seems like a lot of times don't treat their business as a business. They're the deal junkies, like you said. We just want to get the next deal. We're not thinking about building a business. We're just buying deals and doing deals and continuing with that. And the ones that are really successful are doing what you said, folk. They're focusing on the keeping the microscope on the one ant,
and right,
killing the ants, as you said.
Yeah, no, I mean, but it does become like a drug. Like, you just want to keep doing deals. You want to keep looking for deals, analyzing deals, but it's not going. You're not. You'll eventually stop growing. It'll get you to a certain point for sure, but you won't get to the next level.
Yeah, and it'll burn you out too.
Yeah, and it could burn you out, you know, depending on the market.
Cool. Three factors to your success. What are they?
I would say the three factors to my success are going to be, number one, discipline. Mm-hmm. You know, I say I'm self-disciplined. My wife will tell you I have OCD, but I have, you know, I do the same thing every morning. I wake up, I write my gratitude journal, I work out, I meditate. So I take care of me first before I can take care of anyone else. So I think having that discipline is the first piece. I think the second thing is being aware, having sort of an awareness of not just myself, but other people. And realizing that at the end of the day, it's all about relationships. So what am I doing to deepen those and strengthen those relationships? Am I making impulsive emotional decisions based on fear or jealousy or, you know, some other kind of lower level thinking? And if that's the case, you know, I got to take a deep breath and reexamine it and kind of pivot. So oftentimes when I do screw up, I've got to apologize, right? So I'm not perfect, but I would say having that awareness, you know, aware of being aware, I think is my second sort of advantage in that sense. And then I think the third thing is that I take action. I'm absorbs information and goes on and absorbs more information. I take action on the information that I absorb. I test it, I experiment with it, and then I come to the conclusion whether or not, you know, that was good for me or not. But I definitely test, you know, everything I learn.
It's funny that you say that, because I've been like preaching that lately, is you gotta take action. I see so many people, they, you know, they read a bunch of books and they talk about all this stuff that they do. The one of my favorites is when you talk about going to the real estate, the RIA group, and you see the, you know, the speaker that comes and they talk about their, whatever, their program. And then you see the same people go into the back of the room every single time buying different programs, and they've never have focus and they never do a deal. And it's like, you got to actually take action.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a couple more questions before we wrap up. What is your favorite book?
My favorite book right now, I'm a big reader. So to say my favorite book of all time is really, really tough. I'd say that the books that I think are sort of transformative for real estate and mindset, you know, I know it's cliche to say, but it's definitely the kind of book you can read every year and sort of reinvigorate you, is going to be Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Sure.
I love The 12-Week Year. I love The One Thing. Great book. I just read 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos by Jordan Peterson. That's really a powerful book. The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle, I think can be transformative for some people. If you've got business ADD and you find yourself checking email constantly or in social media, Cal Newport, Deep Work is a great book as well. And if you want the best audio book of all time, it's like 48 hours of audio and it's like theater, is Shantaram. It is a fiction book. It is Goodfellas meets Slumdog Millionaire.
Interesting.
So
what'd you say the name was?
Shantaram. S-H-A-N as in Nancy. T-A-R-A-M as in Mary. Shantaram. It is the best audiobook you will ever listen to.
Cool. I appreciate it.
Gregory David Roberts. 43 hours, 9 minutes. Oh, and don't forget my book, Todd. Dirt Rich.
Yeah, Dirt Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably the catalyst for world
peace. And when is that coming out?
That comes out Monday.
Nice. Congrats. Yeah. Congrats on that. I hope it does well. And I'm going to pick up a copy. I hope a lot of these listeners pick up a copy.
Yeah. I mean, you can download the first chapter right now. Go to landgeek.com/dirtrich.
Okay, cool. I'll put that in the show notes too.
Yeah.
All right. So last question, what's your definition to creating financial freedom?
My definition to creating freedom,
yep,
is avoiding solo economic dependency, which means if you're not working, you're not making any money. If you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're a dentist, you're a chiropractor, you have a job, you're a freelancer, right? You're basically a high paid plumber, essentially. Because if the surgeon's not doing the surgery, they don't generate any income.
Yep.
So you need to figure out a way, even if you love what you're doing, to avoid that risk of solo economic dependency, because we never know day to day what can happen. I mean, I had a dental client lose his finger one day doing woodwork, right? Now he can't do dentistry anymore. Guy was making $350,000 a year to zero. So I would say that you have to have passive income in your life, some type of passive income, whether it's through real estate or some other means. But without it, you are at risk and you'll never sleep well at night. I don't think the conventional model of, you know, working really hard and then saving a lot of money, investing in the stock market, that's too risky for me too. Yeah. I don't think that model works.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, Mark, I've appreciated this conversation. It's been a lot of fun. I've actually learned a ton from this. So whether the listeners are enjoying it or not, I've deeply enjoyed it. So I'm glad we've had this conversation. That's sometimes the best part about running a podcast is learning so much from the guests that you bring on. So appreciate you bringing it to the show. The last question I have for you is, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
So I think the best place to go is just thelandgeek.com. They can download for free our passive income blueprint. They can get the ebook, How to Avoid the Three Fatal Land Buying Mistakes. And they can get our podcast, The Art of Passive Income podcast, delivered each week to their email inbox. And then email support@thelandgeek.com. Put in the subject line Todd Dexheimer or Venture Properties, and we will send them for our $97 passive income launch kit course for free.
Cool. Awesome. Well, Mark, again, appreciate you being on the show, and you have a fantastic rest of the day.
Todd, thank you so much. You too.
Yeah, take care. A special thanks to Mark Podolsky for coming on the show, and appreciate all his value that he brought. Definitely brought it. Has a fun business that he's doing. Maybe not fun, but really interesting. And no, just kidding. Really interesting, but really profitable and unique. It was probably the best thing to say. Three things that I took from the show. One is he talked about, stepping back and focusing on really what makes you money. And in his case, it's the M&M, it's the marketing and in the mailings. And so knowing what's going to bring in the money to your business, I think is really important. And so stepping back and thinking about what's going to make that business work. Then the next thing he said is scaling and entrepreneurs, are going to build something that's bigger than themselves. And so you've got to know what you're building and then know how to scale what you're building. And the last thing again is focus, but a different type of focus than what I just said is focus on the 20% that's going to help produce the 80% of your income. So knowing, where to focus your energy for your business. So check Mark out on thelandgeek.com. You can email support@thelandgeek.com and put in the subject line, my name, Todd Dexheimer, or you can put in Pillars of Wealth Creation, and he'll give you that free guide. Also, look up his book, Dirt Rich. I'm sure you can find it on his website. He said you can find the first chapter there. So look at that up, Dirt Rich, and buy his book as well. I enjoyed having him on. I hope you enjoyed what you heard as well. I'm sure you've gained a lot of value from it. I am Todd Dexheimer. I'm signing out. Hey, take some time and subscribe to our show if you haven't already. And I'd love to have everybody share this show out to their social media networks, whether that's on Twitter or LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever it might be. Just give it a share. Say, hey, I've been listening to this podcast. I love it. And that'll really help us grow. That would be fantastic if you're willing to do that. And again, give us a 5-star rating review if you do enjoy the show. Make every day Saturday. I am signing out. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy to understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.